Now, we're mostly hearing about the familiar kind of tennis at the moment as the famous names compete in the Australian Open. But there is another form of the game. It's known as real tennis. It was invented in the 12th century, was favoured by Henry VIII, and is still played in an indoor court with wooden rackets and apparently homemade balls. And the game is now dominated by two sisters from Essex. Sarah Vigrass is a leading player in the female game. Her sister, Claire Fahey, is the first woman to compete and win in the male-dominated British Open, and next month will be the first woman to compete in the American Open. So, Sarah, how did the pair of you get into real tennis?
Well, we were very lucky, actually. About 15 years ago, we happened to move house about 5 minutes down the road from two courts that had just been built in Essex. And Dad took us down, just as, you know, kids on a Sunday afternoon, and we basically fell in love with the game. And we were very lucky at the time. There were some great pros at the club, and they really kind of welcomed us and coached us both. And, I mean, Claire practically lived there over the summer holidays for 6 years in a row, and same with me. So, yeah, it just went from there, really.
So, Claire, and how essentially does it differ from the tennis we're mostly used to?
It is quite difficult to describe without seeing a picture of a court, but I would describe it, it's enclosed but in four walls, and we've got a sloping roof that goes around three of them, and then you add on top of that there are winning openings on the court, so certain spots you hit where you win the point immediately, and also depending on what point you're playing you will have winning and losing zones. So it probably sounds a bit more complicated than it is. But it does
get
easier.
Is it a bit like squash? I mean, is it more squash than tennis?
It's certainly a combination of lawn tennis, squash, and they actually say chess, due to the tactical side of real tennis, and, you know, you need to be playing two or three points ahead of your opponent.
Now, Sarah, the equipment, these heavy wooden rackets and homemade balls?
Yes, that's right. So, the wooden rackets, it sounds a bit kind of old-fashioned. They are a bit more modern than that, but they do look kind of similar to the old lawn tennis rackets that you can probably imagine. The homemade balls is really interesting. So, as Claire's actually a pro at a club, and she'll spend some of her time actually making these balls as well. So they're made of cork in the centre, and then it's felt sewn around it. So they don't bounce as much as lawn tennis balls. So there's you have to kind of get a lot lower to the floor, and the technique stems from that. So there's kind of lots of lunging to get low to the floor and hit these quite heavy balls back at pretty fast speeds as well.
Why do you make your own? Doesn't anybody sell them?
I wish. We do spend a lot of our time making the balls. There's never been a mass production of them, just because the game is so unique, as is each ball. And from what we know, they've always been made by the home professionals, and that's something that's been kept throughout the game still today.
And how, Claire, did you come to achieve the Male Open?
It has to go down as my best achievement, I think, in real tennis, and through a lot of hard work. We have a handicap system, just like they do in golf, and I basically got myself to a level where I would qualify on standard alone. And so, like I said, with a lot of hard work and massive support from the main sponsor, that kind of pushed through, you know, this barrier that a lady had never played with the men in the British Open before. So I was absolutely over the moon to just to get the chance and opportunity to play and compete at the level that, you know, I want to be at.
And how much support did you get from fans of the game?
Huge amount, absolutely. I mean, I was a bit nervous because we are treading on new ground, as you would be, but I've had, yeah, amazing support from a lot of people and all around the world, which has been, you know, really nice to see that actually everyone wants to see you do well, and that you are pushing boundaries and hopefully showing other women in the game what, you know, what you're capable of.
Now, Sarah, what's your relationship like on and off the court, especially as Claire, the younger sister, has somewhat gone ahead and become professional?
Yeah, that's a good question. We have a great relationship. We're very close. We're a very close family in general. On court, it's strictly business, so we're pretty competitive. We also play doubles together, though, so that's a nice kind of balance. We'll usually end up playing a kind of a singles final, and then the doubles final we'll be playing together, so we can kind of perhaps be a bit more friendly to each other in that respect. But no, I have a huge amount of respect for what Claire's done, and it's nice. We've been playing together over probably about 15 years now. Mm-hmm. And Claire wasn't always the better one, so I've had my chance in her shoes as well.
So there is a real competitiveness between them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You might overtake her one day, you never know.
That's what I'm planning on. It's just, you know, sliding in, yeah.
And you're about, Claire, I know, to go to the US Open and then take part in the World Championship, which will be held in this country.
Yes.
What hopes have you got for those competitions?
So I'm just waiting on the draw for the US Open. Again, that's more, it will be a bit more of an experience rather than, you know, something I'm trying to win against the boys. But for the US to come out and say that I can play, I mean, it did stem from the British allowing me to play against the boys. It will be a huge experience, and you know, hopefully if I do get a kind draw, you know, I look forward to just showing, I suppose, the US population what I've can achieve and where I've got to.
Are there any women in America who are as high up the rankings as you are?
No, I mean, the best lady in the US is probably kind of world number 8, 9. But there is, you know, a bit of a gap between rankings as we go down the field. So it'd be nice to show. I think it's very new for the kind of Americans to see a lady get to this level.
Sarah, how many people are really involved in this game? Because it can't be that easy to just find a court to play on.
Yeah, that's unfortunately, that is the tricky bit. The courts are not kind of cheap to build, and therefore there aren't that many in the UK or around the world. I think we were having this chat earlier, actually. We think there's probably about 15,000 people who play worldwide, and as a real estimate, maybe 2,000 of those would be women. In terms of the kind of women, the standard that we're playing at, we'll see the same, I don't know, 20, 30 or so people kind of on the tour at the various tournaments around the time. But it is a very niche sport. It would be wonderful to see it grow and get more popular. But in a nice way, it is a very close community, and that's a nice aspect of that.
Now, there was a lot of talk this week about Heather Watson talking about the impact of her period on her game. I wondered what you made of her talking about it. Was it a good thing that a woman had come out or not?
Yeah, I think what Heather did was actually really brave. It is largely unspoken about in women's sport. And I think that, you know, the key issue is that, yes, it does have an impact. It will impact on your performance on the day. And, you know, as others have come out and said the same, that we need to learn from that and hopefully, you know, come up with, you know, it's individual to everybody, but come up with a coping mechanism to reduce the impact. Because, you know, sometimes it's, like for Heather, it was just really bad timing.
And especially when you're playing against the men, Claire, you need to do something about it. Claire Fahey and Sarah Vigas, thank you both very much indeed.
Thank you.
And the very best of luck to both of you.